You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right now, we are joined by Geneva Alexander Masters, who is live in Waitangi. Hello, Geneva.
Kia ora, kia ora.
Kia ora. How are you, Geneva?
Very well, thank you. I'm currently watching the Navy doing some type of display in front of the very infamous, famous flagpole here in the upper Marae. And they're banging their drums and they're playing their trumpets with their swords and everything.
How fantastic.
Oh, they're going away now. They're marching.
So what's the vibe like up there today?
Vibe is very whānau-friendly. Yeah. Just had some hāngi.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I got in there. A lot of people hanging out with whānau. Very hot. It's ridiculously hot. But yeah, I think everyone who came to watch the korero during the pōwhiri were incredible. Like, they did really well. I mean, obviously, Stephen Joyce was terrible, but...
Was a dildo turn?
Yeah, there was no dildos, but he did mention his experience, and a lot of people had a good laugh.
Uh-huh.
But he did also mention employment and education and kind of glazed over it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And in what way did he mention his experience? Was he sort of like humorous
he implied it rather than actually saying someone chucked a dildo at my face.
Okay.
so what was the pōwhiri like?
Pōwhiri was obviously quite emotional. There was Jacinda Ardern flanked by Winston Peters and also James Shaw. They picked up James Shaw, Winston Peters, and also Clark Gayford who picked up the widow.
Mm-hmm.
There were three of them, and it was a very ferocious meeting. But then everything came together once the karanga started and the widow were finished. And then the speeches started, and it was just incredible to hear everyone speak and also to see a woman speaking at the marae for the first time ever in history, should say.
What was that like? That must have been amazing.
That was amazing. It was. I've never seen anyone do that before. Like, I had a Māori education, and women don't get up to speak ever.
Mm.
Like, it's not the case for anything that I've ever seen before. So it was very groundbreaking, and... very interesting, and some people referred to her bearing a child, and talking about that. And she also referred to herself bearing a child and creating a better future for everyone's children.
Did anyone offer any names for the child?
I think I heard one. I don't know. It got really distracting because we were kind of at the back, so there were some conversations between us sometimes. But I think one of them might have been like Mahuarangi, but I'm not entirely sure because he was speaking in te reo, and I do have to concentrate quite a lot in order to be able to hear everything. but I'm not sure.
So,
She. It's cool that people have been offering her and gifting her name for her child.
So what do you make of her decision to stay 5 days at Waitangi this year? Is this a good thing?
Yes. I think it's important for our nation's leader to engage with something like Waitangi for as long as they can.
Hmm.
And it shouldn't just be 5 days, it should be every single day, 365 days of the year, 24/7. And I think sustaining that relationship up here is a very significant thing.
As a Māori woman yourself, what does Waitangi Day mean to you?
Waitangi Day, what does it mean to me? Well, it's kind of a bit, it's like sad and happy. It's a mixed bag of feelings, really.
Mm.
Like, there's a lot of displacement, and yet it's awesome that we do remain, and that I'm very proud of that. Yeah, it's just a very mixed emotion.
Is it a day to be celebrated? Is it a day to be commemorated? Is it a day to reflect? What is it, do you think?
It's a day to listen and to discuss and to remember.
Mm. And what do you see as being the main issues for Māori this Waitangi Day?
Sorry, what was that?
What do you see as being the main issues for Māori this Waitangi Day?
Well, the theme of the day is manaakitanga.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone is doing their best to look after each other. There's a lot of issues, but I think we need to concentrate on that, especially our government. They need to look after our people as well as everyone else in New Zealand.
How much do you think the mainstream media is to blame for what has become a bit of a negative interpretation of Waitangi Day?
Well, I can understand that they want to get a scoop, but what kind of scoop are they looking for? Are they looking for something that's actually meaningful, or are they looking for something that is sensationalizing any type of animosity that shouldn't be here? This should not be a place where there is that type of animosity, but and it isn't something that should be made fun of. Mm. I feel like it is made fun of.
For like people's
desperation. Or just like when people speak out and they do protest, it's out of desperation. It's not like something to sensationalize.
Mm. So do you think this is something that listeners and sort of like consumers of mainstream media need to be aware of when they're sort of reading headlines and sort of reading reports on Waitangi Day?
Well, there's always more than one story. Mm. And you can only tell what it's like if you come up here yourself. So what I see is a lot of smiling faces, a lot of people who are eating, relaxing, and having conversations and listening as well, yeah.
All right, well, Geneva, well, what are your plans for the rest of your time at Waitangi?
Well, I'm going to go to the beach because it's hot as right now. It's very hot. I'm also very full of hangi. It's the first hangi that I've had in a while, actually.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, we're going to be reading through a constitutional document down at our campsite. So we're going to be learning from this and educating ourselves through it, which will be very interesting.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of what sounds like a very lovely day to talk to us.
Yeah, it was lovely talking to you.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Have a lovely day, Geneva.
I love you guys.
All right.
See ya.
Kakite.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.